Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your mother's favorite podcast, the 1973 podcast. And we're already laughing before we went on the air. People laughing. I had to keep a straight face just to cut the promo in the beginning. So we're going to get right into it. I think we got a lot this week. We're going to the bag. We're going to Ed's bag. Before we get there, had to take a softball question. Little controversy last week. People getting a little upset with the question that was presented. So I had to find a softball. So, Edward, take it away.
All right. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love retro feel, we've got something for everybody. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality and that timeless style that you crave, perfect for lounging at home or making a statement out and about. Don't wait. Our collection is flying off the shelves fast, and you can say, don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorite before they are gone. 1973 podcast store on YouTube. Just click the link below. All right. Well, this one is definitely a much softer question. It's going to be a great lead into, I'm sure, what we start off with. So this is from Jim from Wareham. This is, hello, 1973. What happened to the Vince McMahon talk? We're going to hear your views on the documentary.
All right, Ed. So let me start. I'm not going to start with the Vince stuff, but I'm going to clean it up. We totally forgot last week talking Vince McMahon. So we're going to get back on track with that. We had, I believe, almost 800 views the last time we talked about Vince McMahon. So, I was talking to the professor earlier in the week when he saw the view count. Earlier in the year when we talked about the alleged Vince McMahon stuff that was going on, that episode went through the roof too. So talking wrestling talk and Vince McMahon talk is not out of my wheelhouse. So let's just say that. So episode 2 of the Vince McMahon timeline takes you from after WrestleMania 1 to the steroid trial. So late 80s, early 90s. Thomas, you want to chime in on that that timeline, the Vince McMahon timeline?
Well, the biggest thing I took out of that episode is Hogan's a little rat, ratted out Jesse the Body. Jesse the Body was trying to start a union, and Hogan ratted him out to Vince. And I think if he had just kept his mouth shut, it wouldn't have gone anywhere anyway, because like they were saying on the podcast, I mean, on the show, that guys weren't going to join the union because they were afraid that they'd lose their spot, because the guys wanted a spot so bad that they'd do whatever Vince told them. So that was the biggest thing I took from that. But I have to say, I think Tony Atlas has been the best one on the show. I think he's been probably the most honest.
Ed, did you get a chance to watch it?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I have watched some critiques of it, and just to kind of piggyback on it, I mean, Tony Atlas in the Dark Side of the Ring, he was about in the Bruiser Brody episode. He's about the only one that kind of shot it straight. I think Conan did too on something else I watched as well. Those two guys seem to be the only ones that are kind of shooting it straight. I will say, I mean, I saw the thing. I think that there was a reel out on Facebook a couple weeks ago about Jesse the Body talking about Hulk being a rat and everything like that. And, you know, and I mean, it kind of goes without saying, you know, when, if you watch the, you know, who brought down the WCW, I mean, Hogan's name is involved, you know? So, you know, it's not a shock.
Shaggy, weigh in on episode 2.
Yeah, I agree. My biggest thing is that Hogan's a snitch bitch. And
snitch bitch.
And like I was saying before, I was saying earlier, kind of like the whole like PGA LIV thing. If he wasn't a top money maker, he'd be all on board too. It's like, it's just like Tiger and Rory, like poo-pooing on everything because they'd be losing money. If Hogan agreed to that stuff, he'd be losing money.
Bradford, episode 2 of the Vince McMahon saga. Now, you for this clip, this episode 2, you were at least alive, so you're gonna have some insight into that.
Oh man, I remember the steroid stuff and Hogan coming out and having to admit, you know, that he was using, and that crushed me as a child. But to see all the behind the scenes stuff, and that was pretty interesting. But like, so far this show hasn't really presented much more than what Dark Side of the Ring was doing. Like you said a few episodes ago, I thought we were going to get like the layers peeled back on Vince. I like that they did go into the Ring Boy scandal. I think that probably got swept under the rug media wise, company wise. It doesn't get talked about enough, and it should. Pretty gross stuff going on. They went deep into McMahon's sexual assault accusation. And the thing that got me is old Vinnie Mac talking into the mic, and he goes, well, first of all, she agreed to everything we did. It was consensual. Second of all, the statute of limitations passed, so they can't come after me. I'm like, tell me you're guilty without telling me you're guilty. And then they did go after him years later. You know, I think in civil court, he wound up settling for a pretty large sum, but you know, that stuff, the Ring Boy scandal, that sexual assault scandal hasn't been talked about enough because of all this new scandal that came out. So clearly, like, you know, he wants to bury that stuff. He wants people to focus on the steroid scandal, because at the end of the day, that's not even that big of a deal. But, you know, between the Ring Boy and the other accusation, like, that's pretty bad stuff that went down. And there was a Tony Atlas. What is quit touching my pecker wood, or what do you say?
He grabbed my pecker.
He grabbed my pecker wood. It's just bonkers stuff, man. Like, I don't know. Weird stuff going on back then.
You're up.
I was going to tell Ed, you don't have to watch it because they don't talk about anything that we don't already know.
Yeah, true.
You could have just straight faked it, and there was zero insight to any of the shit there. If you're an old school wrestling fan, you already knew everything you talked about.
Right. But, the only thing I didn't know about is the Ring Voice thing. I never heard about that.
But they didn't get into it. That's the part that sucked.
Blaze right over it.
I would like to have gotten some details off of it, you know?
Yep.
So I'll go a little devil's advocate with like Hogan being like a snitch, though, because it's like if you're at the top of the card and they're talking about like boycotting WrestleMania, maybe, aren't you just like protecting your own spot and your own livelihood?
Yeah, so yeah.
I don't, if you're at the top of the card and you're getting 75% of the purse because you're the top guy, I don't think you're worrying about the freaking and all the ants at the bottom. You're already where they want to be. And then, like, big time, if he was a rat, he already went to WCW. He could have threw Vince under the bus. All he had to do was say, yep, he was all about steroid stuff, and he would have been screwed because he was their top the top guy to say something against them, you know. So I guess he kind of shocked everybody when he was like, no, Vince didn't have nothing to do with it. So I mean, maybe he's a liar for that too. But I don't know. I guess he could have threw him under the bus, seeing that he was part of the competition.
So for me, I always like to try to see what they didn't put in there. So one of the things about Saturday night's main event was they left this out. Jesse had been fired by Vince McMahon because he was asking for royalty rights for the Coliseum home videos. He was the only one to say he wanted royalties from that, so Vince fired him. So he had a lawsuit against Vince for the royalties. Saturday night's main event with Dick Ebersol told Vince, we want Jesse back or there's no deal. So Vince had to hire Jesse back, but he wasn't a WWF employee. He was a NBC employee. So that's a cool story. The other thing that they left out was Terry Funk, when he did Paradise Alley, was the first wrestler to tell other wrestlers that if you can get in a movie, you can get into SAG. Now, SAG has their own insurance for being in the union. So the first wrestler that was big, that little do you know, with his personality, that was a SAG member in 1979 was Roddy Piper. He was on the Henry Winkler movie about Gorgeous George. He played a German wrestler, and he got a SAG card way back then. So Roddy always had insurance. So that leads me to the Hogan thing with Thunderlips in Rocky III, where he was a SAG member, so he didn't need a union either, which Jesse turned around and got his SAG card from Predator. So he was all set. So he got Jesse pretty much got everything he wanted. He ended up getting into SAG for the union with them, and he ended up getting his job semi back with WWF through that Saturday night's main event, which is funny because now he's coming back into the fold again with Saturday night's main event starting in December. He's going to be one of the commentators. So I thought that was pretty cool too. And he put out a really cool reel this week on all the social media talking about how his life has gone full circle. And he's always been a wrestler at heart and all those things. The other thing that they left out was they lied about the attendance record for WrestleMania 3. It's never been 93,000. It's more like 72,000. That's been a lie right from the rip. I'm glad that they mentioned that the Hogan Andre thing, that they had wrestled before that. And Dave Meltzer said Andre had been slammed like 25 times. There's a clip on YouTube of all the wrestlers that slammed Andre before WrestleMania 3. And it's like a montage of everybody doing it. So it's out there. That's a good clip to find on YouTube. The other thing that you have Tony Atlas that's talking about how everything is pretty much legit with what he's saying. And then you have Bruce Prichard doing damage control on the other side, kissing that ass till the end, which is crazy to me. And have a spine, for Christ's sakes. They lied also too about WrestleMania 2, where they said that, oh, we just had an idea. Let's do it from multiple cities. Well, Starrcade the year before had done it from Greensboro and Atlanta for Starrcade 85 and Starrcade 84. So they didn't do nothing except steal what they've always kind of done, like what they did with ECW, which they don't give any credit towards the Attitude Era. They just left a lot of holes out. And I was telling you guys before we went on that Vince McMahon also, in between, I think, WrestleMania, the Trump Plaza ones, 4 and 5, he promoted the Sugar Ray Leonard, Donnie Golden Boy Lalonde boxing match, which they left that out too. So there's a lot of stuff. I was telling Shaggy before we came on too that I would love to see the outtakes from this documentary, just to see the stuff that they either left on the cutting room floor that you can go, why'd they leave that out? Or the stuff that was kind of ad-lib that, you know, they're like, we can't put that in there. The person I thought was kind of crazy in this one too was Jimmy Hart. He kind of took the high road where he says he knows a lot of stuff, but maybe he's too nice of a guy and he doesn't want to bury anybody. But he says, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing for the people that are still connected here and there. And I'm like, just say it. And right.
Just say it. What are they going to do to you?
Yeah.
Are they going to go shut his restaurant down?
Oh, that's right.
It's always interesting what I agree with. If you are a old school wrestling fan and maybe you've read a lot of things or watched a lot of my wrestling deep dives were always those shoot interviews when they first came out. I was all into those. Even the guys that I wasn't really a fan of, because they tell stories and it's all supposed to be a shoot. And, you know, I had heard stories about people that didn't like McMahon back then talking about how when he was going to the different territories, trying to buy the territories back in the day, he was doing some devious stuff back then with, you know, certain things. And I can't tell the story 100% because I don't remember it, but he was scumbag way back when. So, yeah, I think everything's kind of too little too late with putting the clamps on him when it comes to his, deviancy, we'll say. Before we do, you guys want to add anything to the McMahon episode 2 before we move on?
I'm glad I was just glad that Bret Hart actually came out and called Mel Phillips a pedophile. I mean, everybody else kind of pussyfooted around it, and Bret didn't give a shit. He just came out and flat out called him.
Yeah. I saw a thing too where they were saying that in the documentary itself, there's like a lot of like funny editing. Like a lot of those interviews aren't interviews for the documentary. They're just like old clips of them talking about a subject, and they probably had the rights to use all the stuff, So they can just throw stuff in wherever they want. Cause I saw a thing where Bischoff said they asked him to do the documentary and he said no. But as I, you know, maybe not so much on episode two, but as we kind of went along, there's a lot of like Bischoff clips and he didn't agree to even go on the documentary. So it's I think they can kind of twist the truth a little bit to their benefit. You know, a lot of times they'll ask the questions and then as soon as he gives his answer, they already break to a pot to make it look like he's full of shit.
I think it kind of goes back to like the WWE thing that they did on A&E with Macho Man. Everybody on that made Macho Man out to be like this really whacked out dude. Like, I mean, you could see a couple of times Hogan sitting there, he's smirking as he's saying stuff. And it's like, man, like the dude's dead. He can't even defend himself. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, like, and it's like one person after another, after another, after another. I was like, so, I mean, like to see how they splice stuff up and lay stuff in. I mean, it's not a surprise. You know what I mean? And like all these guys, I mean, the reason why Hogan probably never said anything back in the day about what, with the steroid stuff at the trial about Vince is because he knew he was going to go back. I mean, Flair, that's why Flair always never trashes anybody. Like he may trash Bischoff a little bit, but Bischoff's not in charge. Flair never trashed McMahon ever. Cause whenever Flair needed a paycheck, he'd always pick up the phone and McMahon would be like, all right, we'll bring you back, you know, 800,000, you know, to $1 million, you know? I mean, so that it's not a surprise.
Yeah, the
you guys are throwing out there the thing with Tony Atlas being like the most honest guy on the thing. I think he started getting like a little bit too honest too, because he's like, "Oh, we used to treat the females horrible back then." And I was like, "Hey, yeah. Tony, you're gonna get yourself in trouble, buddy."
Yeah, you gotta love him though, because he's just like a simple, down to earth dude. You know, there's no bones with that guy. What you see is what you get. I was going to say something about the episode and I got sidetracked with something before we move on. Was something to do with I was telling Shaggy before we came on tonight that these things always seem like the Hall of Fame. They're too little too late that they miss the boat with certain people that have passed, and it would like kind of add to it, like for more talking heads. The guy that should be on this podcast on the episode, not the podcast, but maybe the podcast too would be great. Jesse the Body Ventura should be on this documentary. I think he would really contradict a lot of stuff, and he doesn't hold anything back either. He's just a regular dude. And another guy that would have been great on this is Bruno, and Superstar Billy Graham would have been great, because they both had their moments with Vince where they didn't want nothing to do with him, as they showed the two of them on the Phil Donahue show, tearing him up back then. And, you know, they tried to back him in the corner, but he's really like a modern day P.T. Barnum. He knows how to manipulate and market and all that stuff. So, I guess so next week, definitely episode three, we'll try to finish that up, but we're going to stay with the wrestling theme of things. And the man below me and one of the center squares, Bradford, made a trek all the way to A-Town to see Hell in a Cell. I want your review for the millions and millions watching at home.
For the millions and millions of my fans watching at home. Yeah, we surprised the boy. We bought tickets to Bad Blood way back 6 months ago, and they went on sale. Little did we know, the GPS took us right in front of State Farm Arena, where there was just droves and droves of wrestling fans walking around. And Lucas was like, why are all these people wearing wrestling shirts if we're supposed to be in Alabama at your friend's house? And then he was like, wait a minute, where are we at? I was like, damn it. We're in Atlanta. We're actually going to Bad Blood. So we went, man. Bucket list show for me. Gotten to see a Hell in a Cell. Gotten to see CM Punk. Got to see Roman Reigns. The Rock. The Great One came back. So I'm drinking this Terramana tequila. Right here is a plug. The Rock, sponsor me, please. I'm drinking it on the rocks.
Red, could we pause you right there? That Ed has space available for The Rock to rent if you want to advertise on the show. It's right in back. We are selling space in back of Ed. If you are a business owner and you would like to rent space in back of
Ed, a billboard.
Correct. It's going to go right. in back of Ed. So anywhere from, you know, your used tire business to your old video store, it can go right in back of Ed.
Yeah.
Brad.
So the Hell in a Cell. So I'll start with this. Bad Blood had one really great match, had one fun but mostly average match with some surprises, and then the rest of it was forgettable. Still worth the trip, 100%. The Rock coming out was my absolute highlight of the night. We had shitty seats. I don't care. It was incredible. And I don't know if it was a WWE thing or a State Farm thing, but half the Jumbotron wouldn't work. The half that we could see was covered with wires and gear and rigging. So the fans were chanting, "Fix the screen," the whole night. They would not turn off the lights around the top of the stadium or the arena. So literally everybody's like getting blinded because you try to look over the Jumbotron, it's just white light. So we were chanting, "Turn off the lights," all night, and they ignored us. But I guess maybe they leave them on so you can see how full the arena was. It was absolutely packed. Not one single empty seat in this arena. And it was incredible. So the Hell in a Cell, I'm going to go around the room. I think it was easily a match for the ages. Like, I think it'll go down in history as one of the better ones. Drew McIntyre not only carried CM Punk's old butt, who was struggling, had to get oxygen at the end of the night, but the way Drew carried this feud from WrestleMania on through 6 months when so many other superstars had kind of taken a break. Roman was out. Seth Rollins was out. The Rock went back to movies. John Cena sporadically showing up. Who was carrying this company? Because Cody's reign was kind of boring. Drew McIntyre was carrying the company with his matches and his feuds. They incorporated the bag of beads. I thought that was so like theatrical and just poetic. I thought it was awesome. I was hoping it was going to be like a bag of shattered glass or like shards of glass. Like that would just be such a dig from Drew McIntyre on Punk if he just poured out a bunch of real glass. You know, going back to the whole AEW feud, Lucas, of all people, like called out that it was beads. And I was like, nah, it ain't. And then it was. So Lucas was like way into it. I think it's ironic that CM Punk botched it at one point and actually absolutely annihilated Drew McIntyre with a toolbox. he had to get 15 staples, I read. You know, so the guy that didn't want to use real glass, you know, botches Hell in a Cell. But I thought it was an incredible match, man. Hell in the Cell is always fun. It's always dangerous. You have to turn it up a notch. I feel like they absolutely delivered. It was a fun time, dude. I mean, that was my first pay-per-view. I had a blast. I don't even remember who was in the middle between that and the tag match. I am disappointed with this Jacob Fatu thing that they've kind of made him out to be a clown. Like even the fans were laughing about how he keeps doing the solo. I love you. Like we were clowning that shit the whole night. He does it twice in the middle of the match. He doesn't even face off with Roman Reigns. He only ties up with Cody. Solo's the one that would jump in the ring with Roman. So I don't know why they're keeping the two separated like that. Even on SmackDown and appearances on the regular shows, Jacob Fatu and Roman still haven't clashed. And they just keep making Fatu just the stupid, like, gullible, I love you, tribal chief. It's weird. Like, it's not working, man. And so maybe I hope they do something. I mean, like,
brother love, tribal chief.
It's weird. And the other night on SmackDown, he did it, like, 5 or 6 times. Like, he's saying, I love you, Solo, more than Jimmy does a super kick in a match. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, put a pin in it. We get it. You love your tribal chief. Now let's do something with that story. Great pay-per-view, though. I had a blast. I'll do it again. Just waiting for the next one.
Can you make it outside to see the Cody angle?
Nah, man, we drove 6 hours to get there. So when it was time to go, it was time to go. And that arena, if you ever get to go to State Farm Arena, I recommend that you don't. It was just crowded. It's not built for max capacity. There's only like two stairwells to go up. So if you're in the upper deck with the poor people like me, like getting out of it was a nightmare. Just droves of people with one stairwell. Like there's nowhere to go. But we did Expedia plug. If you're listening, thank you. I used Expedia points to get a free room at the Omni, which is connected to the arena. So we just kind of walked around and down and boom. So it was fun, dude. It was a good trip. Atlanta's not that far away from me, I found out. It's a very easy 5.5 hour drive. Like, so we'll probably make some more trips, maybe for Monday Night Raw or something. That, I don't know. We'll see. It was fun.
So when I rewatched it, the Phantom had already watched it. And I said, of course, what do I always say? No spoilers. Don't be a bitch. No spoilers. So my first gripe is towel foul from the referee. There should be no wiping of the blood. Takes away from the story. Let that shit freaking go. Crimson Mask for a reason. It's not called the Crimson Towel. The other thing is great ending to a feud. That's how you end a feud. Epic blow-off match. Very good. They don't do that enough. Drew McIntyre channeled in that feud his best Magnificent Morocco, because that is IC title champion style heat right there. That's how you carry a feud. He'd be great with a mid-card title with a like that as a heel. Good enough to carry it. You don't have to take it off him. He can have a nice run with it. And you can just make guys out of that. You know, maybe a couple gimmick matches in there, and you want to see him eventually get beat like Roman Reigns, but in a different kind of way. But those matches in the middle, they're all garbage. And of course you want to see the main event as the storyline progresses, wherever they're going. I had a feeling that Roman Reigns was going to turn on Cody, but they're building that too. Little spoiler. I don't know if it's going to happen, but they're short one guy for Hell in a Cell. With teams versus teams, Brock Lesnar coming back. They added him to the back to the WWE page. That's my, I'm calling it. That's who it's going to be. But
who's it going to be?
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
Yeah, we were talking in line. Also, shout out to the people in line. I told you to look up the podcast. Hopefully, you do. Hopefully, you see this. We talked baseball and wrestling, so it was like, you know, good time. We were all thinking it's still going to be Rock or Brock Lesnar, because Pat McAfee was interviewing Cody Rhodes on his show and spilled it that the big guy was supposed to come back. And then Cody like cut the interview. So we spent the whole drive, you know, talking about, you know, for 5-6 hours, like who is the big guy? Who is it going to be? So pretty neat that it wound up being the Rock.
Phantom, take it away.
Now, I was just going to say, pretty much the same as what Brad said. It's like they hit a home run with that feud. That thing was done. I'm a Punk guy, but you figure he comes away from the feud with a win, but that totally elevated Drew McIntyre. Like he might have lost, but he was going from over here to over here. So I think he's like one of their top guys. I think they're gonna push him to the ceiling right now. He's hot.
I think too, if you can do that where both guys come out of the feud and they can elevate, you've done it right, because neither guy looks like whether Punk collapsed in the runway or not, kayfabe, or if it was, you know, just him trying to add to it, doesn't matter, because it made Drew McIntyre look stronger. He's all busted open and he didn't collapse either. So it just adds to it. It just totally.
Well, even he comes out the next tonight and it's almost like, this took everything out of me. Like I got to go away for a bit. Yeah, I mean, he probably is banged up from the match. It was a physical match, but you don't got to jump off the top of the cage. You don't have to set yourself on fire. Mm-mm. You know, you might have to take a toolbox to the head, but you can tell a story without killing yourself.
You know, the funny thing is the guy who produced the match backstage is known for those crazy ass matches. It was Abyss. Joseph Parks was a producer of that match.
Nice. Oh.
If you're going to use hokey weapons in a match, that's the way you do it. You use it sparingly, and then all throughout it, they were with the placement of where the toolbox ended up with the loose tools, they were like struggling, like fighting to get towards it. And then it broke up a couple of what could be false finishes or submissions. So it was good. It was good. Do we move on from the wrestling and get into some shitty picks? What do you think?
Whatever. Yeah, I'm down. Also, NXT, if you guys haven't watched, I'm going to plug it again. You got to watch NXT. It is almost more exciting than SmackDown or Raw. It's definitely more exciting than AEW. It does get fucking hokey from time to time. But Stephanie Vaquer came out teaming up with Julia. I know you're not a big fan of women's wrestling, Andy, but NXT does women's wrestling pretty well. Shawn Michaels has the type. I'll just leave it at that. But Nikita Lyons came back. They've had some really great matches. Jey Uso showed up kind of weirdly just to do a chant with Trick Williams, just so they could say, whoop that Trick, yeet. And they just did that to go to commercial. But it was still fun. If you're not watching NXT, man, you got to. It is a blast. It is way more fun than SmackDown, especially we're Raw with the new 2-hour format. It's like they don't have enough time to put everybody everywhere. So now like Raw talent is showing up on NXT and SmackDown, and it's just making it kind of more exciting to watch day to day and week to week, because you never know who's going to show up.
I'm all about the 2-hour Raw. Just say that.
They're struggling though, man. Too many stars and storylines. They don't have enough room. So
matches. Not everybody has to be in a storyline. That's
just
matches.
That's the thing I liked about this pay-per-view was they only had 5 matches, so they gave all the matches enough time to actually tell a story and stuff. So it wasn't all high spots and
Oh, are we gonna ignore the stupid Crown Jewel Championship?
Oh.
Come on.
You know, they do these hokey things when they go over there because they pay them. I think it's been like $50 million to come there for one
show. Not a fan.
It's crazy.
Yeah, not a fan of champion versus champion. I don't even care.
I will say I like it, but I want that belt just to be like a trophy. I don't want the guy walking around with two of them. I want it to be like like the Crockett Cup. Like every year you have the champions meet, like a World Series kind of thing, with the best from both divisions, and then you just have it all the way until that following year until somebody else wins it.
Yeah, I like that.
Agree.
Stupid ass boat.
Yep.
It's huge.
Thomas, save us.
All right, we're gonna go go to the NFL, and after 5 weeks of the little pick'em that we're doing, Brad is in first, 50-28. Andy is 48-30. Ed and Ryan are tied 46-32. I'm 45-33, and Shaggy is 35-27. So we're going to go into the picks for week 7, which there's 15 games, so there's 2 teams with a bye. But first game is Thursday night, is the New Orleans Saints and the Denver Broncos in New Orleans.
Before we get into the you have no shitty picks this week, do you?
Oh, I do, actually. There Tom we go.
Shitty Picks is brought to you by.
All right, hold on.
Slacking.
Tom Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything they brew is in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whippy area, which one of us actually is right now, he's not on tonight, but go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you.
Speaking of beer, Brock Street Brewing, sorry I don't have one
this week,
but I do have a cool fanny pack cooler pouch. That's also a championship belt. That's the big surprise, Andy.
Ah.
I like it.
And unless you can hand them out to us through the screen, I think the rest of us are like, what the fuck, dude?
Sounds like a fucking fanny pouch.
Wait a minute. Only the straight guy comes big like that. Wow.
Don't hate the player. Don't hate.
Tommy just took this to True South.
Time out. I got to say, 87 episodes. I've watched this podcast back and forth, clips, or the whole deal. That is the very first time the professor has sworn on the podcast, and it took Brad to do it.
Brad and beer. That's it.
That's what I'm here for.
All right. Thursday night, New Orleans Saints at home against the Denver Broncos. Andy.
Broncos.
All righty. Brad.
Broncos.
All righty. Phantom.
Broncos.
All righty. Shaggy.
I need ketchup. We're going with Saints.
All righty. Ed.
I'm going to go with the Saints, even though, I mean, the Broncos are playing better, and it's homecoming for Sean Payton. It's going to be Sean Payton night there.
Yep. That's true. I'm going to go with the Saints, even though I'm not sure by then. I don't know if David Carr will be back. They're going with the rookie Spencer Rattler this week, so I'm still going to hope that Carr is back for week 7.
As part of your shitty picks, did you give a fantasy pick this week?
I'll wait till we're done. I'm going to pick a college game.
Oh, all right. There we go.
Basically because I forgot to say it.
I was trying to get your attention to let you know, but
he's waiting for the final scores tonight.
Better look at the injury report.
It was all that swearing.
Second game of the week, the Jacksonville Jaguars at home against the New England Patriots, which actually I think this game might be in Europe, to be honest.
It's London game.
It is. 9:30 a.m. game.
Andy.
Jaguars.
All righty. Brad?
Jaguars.
All righty. Phantom?
Jaguars.
All righty. Shaggy?
Yeah, I knew it Jaguars, too. I hate saying it.
All righty. Ed?
It's a pick 'em game, man. Both teams are horrible, but I'm going to go with the Pats.
All righty. I'm going to go with Jacksonville. But that Patriots offensive line sucks, and Ramondre Stevenson's out for this week, so I don't know if he's going to play next week 7 or not, but all right. Third game, the Atlanta Falcons.
But Thomas, isn't Drake May the savior, though? Isn't he the savior? Isn't he supposed to fix everything?
Not without a line.
No, without a line.
According to what they're saying on Sports Radio, they're going to fix everything.
Yeah. Oh, you should hear the sports radio here.
Oh, horrendous.
Third game of the week, Atlanta Falcons at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Andy.
Atlanta.
All righty. Brad.
Also Atlanta.
All righty. Phantom.
Seahawks.
All righty. Shaggy.
I'll go Atlanta.
All righty. Ed.
Not from the Omni in Atlanta to go old school at 6:05 TBS, but I'm going with Atlanta.
All righty.
Even though the Seahawks looked pretty good the other night on TV versus the 49ers.
Yeah.
I'm going with Atlanta as well. I just think they just have too many weapons right now. And they're playing at home, basically. That's the main reason I'm taking them. Next game, Buffalo Bills at home against the Tennessee Titans. Andy.
Bills? Question mark.
All righty. Brad.
The Bills.
All righty. Phantom.
Buffalo.
All righty. Shaggy.
Buffalo.
All righty. Ed.
I'm going with the Tatonkas, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that would be Buffalo.
Even though I'm wearing a Tennessee hat, I'm going with Buffalo. Got to pick with my brain instead of my heart.
For shame.
Will Levis is a million-dollar body, but, man.
Bad for shame.
And he might not even play. I don't know if he's back this week or not. He got hurt last week. So
I think he's going to play.
Yeah. Next game, Cleveland Browns at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy.
Icky Woods, please.
All righty. Brad?
I'm going to pick the Cincinnati Bengals.
All righty. Phantom. All righty. Shaggy.
I'm going to pick Cleveland for shits and giggles.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going to go with the anti-massage therapist. That would be the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cincinnati as well. That Cleveland's a shit show right now. Watson's yelling and screaming at guys on the bench and in the huddles now. He's losing his shit.
He walked off the field the other day.
Yep.
And next put James game. In there.
He just, you know, he's like, you know, that $92 million, you know, a year. I really don't feel like running the ball anymore.
Yep. Yep.
Next game should be a pretty good game. Green Bay Packers at home against the Houston Texans. Andy.
I'm going to take the Packers because they're going to Super Bowl.
All righty. Brad.
I'm going to go with the Packers too.
All righty. Branko.
I'm going to go with the Packers because they are not going to the Super Bowl.
Shaggy.
I will take Paul Hornings, Packers.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going to take the Joel Olsteins, please.
All righty.
Ooh, you know I'm going to pull that one out of my... Huh?
I'm going to go with Green Bay. Houston's banged up a little bit. They don't need the guys that are out this week against the Pats, but they're...
I sure they don't.
Nico Collins is out, and their running back may not play. Mixon, he's got a concussion, so we'll see.
Well, that doesn't matter. You can get knocked out during the game and go back in.
Yes, Josh Allen.
All right.
Next game, the Indianapolis Colts at home against the Miami Dolphins. Andy.
Flip a coin. Colts? I don't know.
Alrighty. Brad.
Andy, a man after my own heart. I'm going to pick Joe Flacco and the Colts.
All righty. Phantom.
Colts.
All righty. Shaggy.
Going with the Colts.
All righty. Ed.
Yeah, I'm hey, this is a pick 'em. This is a dumpster fire on both sides. I have written down the Dolphins, but, you know, like, Flacco is playing way better than the Dolphins ever could, so I'm going with the Colts.
Is he starting this week, or they bring back Richardson?
Richardson.
I thought they were going to ride Flacco till he.
Oh, forget that. Then I'll take the Dolphins.
I'm hoping they ride Flacco. Well, who knows? You might be hurt this week.
I'm taking the Dolphins in.
Okay. I'm taking the Dolphins because week 7 is supposed to be when Tua comes back, so we're going to see. I'm going to ride him, even though.
Are we going to see somebody for the second time in our lifetime die on the field? Is that what we're going to have happen?
Hey, it's possible.
Yeah.
Next game, another good game. Minnesota Vikings at home against the Detroit Lions. Andy.
Vikings? Question mark.
I was going to say, you've had a lot of answers today with the question mark.
Viking? I mean, every time I pick it, the question mark. First game, first one comes in my head. Jeez, I'm picking like Homer Simpson right here.
Brad?
Awfully big luck you got there.
Although the Vikings are playing really good football, I think Sam Darnold will do Sam Darnold things against the Lions and that style defense. So,
alrighty, Phantom.
Vikings.
Alrighty, Shaggy.
I'm gonna pick the Vikings because I always pick against them. They end up winning, so I'll pick the Vikings.
Alrighty, Ed.
I'm gonna go with the kneecap biters.
Alrighty.
The Vikings are 5-0 right now, by the way.
Yeah, I know. They're playing really well, but, I mean, so aren't the Lions.
Yep. You know? Yep.
I'm going with the Lions, man.
I'm piggybacking off what Brad said, and Sam Darnold's got to come back down to earth sooner or later, and I'm going to go with Detroit in this game. I think Darnold will make one mistake. I mean, Detroit's defense isn't that great, their secondary, but I think he will make one more mistake than Jared Goff. Next game, New York Giants at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. Andy.
Going with the Eagles.
Wow.
All righty. Brad.
How has this somehow turned into a pick'em game?
Seriously.
The Eagles.
Every game is a pick'em game for me, son.
Phantom.
Philly.
All righty. Shaggy.
Yeah, here you go, Philly.
All righty. Ed.
The Giants have been playing better, but on talent alone, you got to go with the Eagles. But, man, there's something going on there in Philly that it's not good. That could be a landing pad for Belichick.
Well, they're
getting both their receivers back this week. So
that's what I was going to say. I think if they lose this week with everyone back, I think then you might see a change in coaching. But I'm going to go with Philly in this game. Giants are playing really well. I mean, a lot better than I thought, but Neighbors is out again this week. So I don't know if he'll be back next week with the concussion. So we'll see.
But Peggy, how are you this far behind when we all pick the same teams?
Was that?
How are you this far behind when we always pick the same teams?
I missed a week. I took a nap.
Next game, the Los Angeles Rams at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. Andy.
Well, I see all these memes that say that my former favorite football team, the Raiders, stink. So I'll take the Rams.
All righty. Brad.
The Raiders do stink. They have the best wide receiver, one of the best wide receivers ever, and can't figure out how to get him the ball. But I will go with the Rams on this one.
All righty.
Still plays.
Phantom, you're going with Rams?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Shaggy.
Give me Jim, don't call me Chris Everett's Rams.
All righty.
That I know.
Ed?
You cannot pick the dumpster fire.
Ed?
You just can't. I'm going with the Rams.
Yeah, I am too. Vegas is changing quarterbacks this week. It doesn't matter. They can play them both at the same time, and they don't – they're what you guys said, a dumpster fire. Next game, Washington Commanders at home against Carolina Panthers. Andy.
I'm going commando and taking the Redskins.
All righty. Brad.
I don't want to insult those peoples because now their focus groups and their lobby groups are all trying to lobby for a name change. So out of respect for them, I will pick the Redskins.
The people.
All righty. Phantom.
Don't cancel me, Commanders.
All righty. Shaggy.
I'll take Sonny Jurgensen's Redskins.
All righty. Ed?
Commanders.
Yep. I mean, some Jurgensen's will give you Redskins.
It's going to be a clean sweep. I'm going with Washington on that game. Next game, probably the game of the week, San Francisco 49ers at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy?
I don't know. I usually take Rock Hudson's favorite team, but I'm going to take the Chiefs.
All righty. Brad?
Yeah, Taylor Swift's going to work her magic on this one, fellas. The Chiefs.
Phantom?
AC.
All righty. Shaggy?
I'm taking Chiefs, but I hope they lose.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going with the Niners.
All right. Yeah, I'm going with the Niners. Just try to pick up a game on you guys. So,
Speaking of getting canceled, Ed almost got us canceled last week, Ryan, so you've got nothing to worry about with that email that he wanted to read.
All right, next game, Pittsburgh Steelers at home against the New York Jets. Andy?
I don't know, Steelers, I guess.
All righty. Brad?
Hey, Andy's like reading my mind here. I'm going to go with the Steelers.
All right. I thought you would just like block. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Phantom?
Paul Lynn.
Steelers against the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Steelers.
All righty. Shaggy.
Baltimore.
All righty. Brad.
I'm going to pick Tampon Bay. I think it's a statement game for Baker Mayfield and his Buccaneers team.
All right. Phantom.
Ravens.
All righty. Shaggy?
I'm going to answer like Andy. Buccaneers?
All righty. What's your mind? Ed?
You know, I was going to pick the Ravens, but I'm going to say this. Tampa is in New Orleans this week, and then it's their first.
I'm going to go with
me for a second.
Well, I stuck you in, see?
That was an NFL storyline there in that response.
The Monday night game, Arizona Cardinals at home against the Los Angeles Chargers. Andy?
Chargers, I guess.
Okay. Brad?
Arizona for me on that one.
All righty. Phantom?
Cards.
With Arizona in that one. I think be a close game, but I think Kyler Murray will have scored just enough points in that one, and Herbert's still a little banged up, so I'll go with him.
Dude, Marvin Harrison Jr. is having a dream season, so keep feeding him the ball.
He is awesome. All right, AC, that's it.
I thought you had a fantasy pick.
Didn't know if you were going to lead into it or not. You know, geez. All right.
He's just testing you.
This past week, which the game's going on right now, I took Ohio State against Oregon. Next week, there's some really good games next week. I mean, this week there was some. There was, I think, five games that were had ranked teams against one another. Next week there are three. Michigan's playing Illinois. Georgia, number five against Texas. But the game I'm going with is Alabama versus Tennessee. I'm going with the upset. I'm taking Tennessee at home.
Ooh. Bold.
I like it.
Carolina this week.
What's that?
Bama barely got out of South Carolina this week.
Yeah, they're struggling. I mean, they've played a lot of close games. I mean, since they beat Georgia, they've struggled a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Georgia gave everybody the blueprint on how to beat them.
Yep.
So, all right, we're going to wrap up the sports talk. We're going to get into one of my favorite segments on the show. You hit the Twilight Zone music. And, yep. You know what time it is. Thomas, what time is it? It's time for the get out your tinfoil, your Reynolds wrap, your shrink wrap, your saran wrap. And go ahead, Tom, wrap it up.
Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love, written by our very own Andy Clark.
That's right.
Available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21.
Bradford?
Man, do I have one for y'all? So we've talked about Lahaina, Hawaii. Have we talked about that one on this? I'm pretty sure we did, about how they used the laser to burn down the island. And so laser. So Lahaina was interesting because infrastructure failed. The water was essentially turned off. Nobody could use it to put out this alleged wildfire. Emergency responders failed. The police chief of Lahaina was also the police chief of Vegas at the time of the Vegas shooting. So there's a lot of weird things. And we talked about the blue roofs and the blue umbrellas, how the laser didn't, you know, do that. So keep that in mind. Now we're also going to talk about HAARP, who is admitted to blasting the ionosphere with radiation and, electrons, and I don't know the scientific talk, I'm not a nerd, but they have admitted to basically being able to generate their own aurora borealis. And tell me why this year we've had two stretches far south as, like, we could see it here in Mississippi and Florida. You're not supposed to see it that far, right? So HAARP is definitely playing with the environment. We have this, you know, laser cannon that's setting fires in Hawaii. And what was weird about Hawaii, it was a land grab. The elites wanted to buy that land because it was extremely valuable. The locals wouldn't sell it. And they're trying to turn Lahaina into one of the world's first smart cities. Fast forward now to Hurricane Helene. Maybe they used that same laser to burn Lahaina to heat up a part of the Gulf or the Caribbean to generate a hurricane. Like, you have to blast the water with some heat to generate this low pressure to form, right? Or maybe there's already a low formula. Hey, now's our chance. We have this atmospheric steering flow. We could use this laser to make a storm, blow it through Tampa, which is also supposed to be a smart city coming here up in the future. But the interesting thing about Hurricane Helene is it went through North Carolina, and there is the world's third largest lithium mine up there in the mountains that the elites are trying, like BlackRock, Vanguard, George Soros, all those firms are investing in this area and they want it, and the locals won't sell it. What happened with Helene? Infrastructure failed. Granted, mountain cities aren't built to withstand Cat 1 hurricanes, right? But when the fuck has a Cat 1 hurricane ever made it up into the mountains? Like, pretty weird. And there's always been a conspiracy. Like, there is government documentation that got released with Freedom of Information Act, where the U.S. government has been out in the Caribbean and out in the Atlantic Ocean basically generating hurricanes. Like, our government has admitted to it, and people still deny with cloud seeding technology. And again, cloud seeding, not a conspiracy. They literally use that technology in the Middle East to generate rain when they're having dry seasons. So we have this technology. We know they're doing it, but every time somebody brings it up, I'm the crazy one, right? Am I'm the fucking crazy one? I think people need to stop just accepting that our government's there to protect us, because FEMA has dropped a ball on the Hurricane Helene response up in the mountains. They literally sent FEMA Black Hawk helicopters to hover over volunteers and blow all their tents and supplies and destroy their volunteer headquarters with just a rotor wash from the helicopters. A lot of shady shit going on there. And then, you know, hey, but you're right. I'm the one who's insane.
Thomas, you care to respond to that? So close to the election?
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with the election, because if you look at hurricanes, if they're doing it more than, you can't say, if you're saying that they're doing it, you can't say they're just doing it this one time. And all the major hurricanes that we've had, it's like when Trump was in president, you had the one that, who was it, Hurricane Dorian hit, and that was a red state. Then you had when Bush was in president, the Katrina, Louisiana was voting Republican. So I don't think there is my conspiracy with the whole, not to get away from what Brad said, but I don't think there is a Republican Democrat thing. I think whoever's running this deep state shit that you guys all talk about, I think it's one thing, and they're just trying to keep people divided so they don't rise up as one.
Tom,
yep.
You've graduated, man. You've become one of us, bro.
Welcome to the club, brother.
Welcome to the club, Tom.
Yeah, Republican or Democrat, black, both sides of the
Listen, as far as Cub Scout badges go, you got your Cub badge there, Tom. You're working on your Weeblos. We'll get you there. We'll get you there.
Get that man a scarf.
It's the blue one now, right? He's working on the blue scarf now.
There's so much stuff that's come out like over the last like 2 or 3 weeks, and of course you don't always know what to believe. I watch a great just common sense type stuff to pay attention to is you know, how is it that we're told that the earth is made with a molten core and all that stuff, but the deeper you go in the ocean, the colder it gets. It's just crazy stuff like that. Just common sense stuff that makes you wonder what's the big picture. And, you know, you see these just simple things like the flight patterns that airplane pilots take to get from one place to another. And then you look at the way that they're rooted on the map of what we know as the globe. And it's like, it makes no sense they're going that way. But when you look at the other map, what you might or might not believe is the true map of the earth. The flight
pattern. The flat one? Is that what you're talking about? You're talking about the flat one?
I'm not saying it's flatter. Or the Simpsons movie. Something like that. You know, okay. Something that can be manipulated. Maybe by a grand scheme of things or a higher power or whatever you want to. We're not there yet. But yeah, there's so many little interesting details in the UN map. You know, their logo has what looks to be like an ice wall around it. So just things like that just makes you kind of wonder. And as Brad brings up great points, it's a lot of, you know, we try to add a little bit of, you know, kind of intelligent conversation at the end of the shit show when we talk about wrestling. So on one side of the fence, you got, you know, you lowbrow guys that do nothing but watch wrestling, that's fake. Well,
everything's fake.
Right. We talk fake at the end, too. So, yeah, Brad, that's a great one. I think as the election gets closer, you're going to see more and more conspiracy theories pop up and, you know, kind of draw a timeline in between things here and there. And, you know, yeah, so shall. What do you think?
I forgot Hurricane Nadine is supposed to be the next named storm, and graphics and fake news reports got leaked. Basically, the script got leaked, and all the major news networks had to go on like a media cleanup campaign just to kind of discredit like where people are getting their news from, so that people didn't start panicking for another hurricane. But I think it's just one of those, like we talk about with the NFL, like the script got leaked. And they had to be, oh shit, someone, some idiot dropped his next one and it was too soon. Go on a media campaign, clear it up, discredit it, and now we got to shift and do something different because now they know it's coming.
I think a lot of it can be like, I think it is political because I think they're trying to push the global warming agenda with like the temperature of the water, and that's why all of a sudden we're getting all this funky weather.
Well, we don't have a war to drive votes one way or another. We don't have race riots to drive votes one way or another. They can't throw COVID at us again, even though that's probably coming down the barrel at some point. So what's the next way to do it? Get people divided on global warming with hurricanes and FEMA and storm relief. And then only give the people $750 when you send Lebanon a couple billion. So I don't know. It's weird.
Weird. Very
I'm
weird.
I'm the crazy one though. Yes. You're right.
Absolutely. Yes. Tom's the true north on this. Mm-hmm. If you believe that there's a north somewhere. So yeah. So anybody want to add anything to the tinfoil hat segment before we wrap it up for the week? Nope. Well, good. Silent majority. Nobody wants to be, nobody wants to be red flagged other than Brad.
Yeah, we don't want the FBI knocking on our doors.
What was funny was when you started talking about the subject of the tinfoil hat, I lost my Wi-Fi for a second there. What a shocker.
Just whoa.
They shot the laser.
Kind of weird that just before the storm set, a lot of people's electric vehicles all got disabled. Nobody's talking about that. Kind of like the area was hit with like some sort of EMF or cannon that shoots lasers that disables things. I don't know.
Shocks with laser beams.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Real quick before we move away from the tinfoil hat segment, did you see the stuff that Tesla rolled out this week? The robots?
No.
Sorry. 30K, you can have a mate in your house.
Those things, you got to see them, Brad. You got to see it.
I'm terrified already. I don't even want to look it up. That's the beginning of the end. Everybody knows that.
If you get a chance. If the robots
are going to kill us, we might as well have a mate for a couple of years before they get the guns.
Yeah. Brad, you have to Google it. You got to see it. And that could be something to talk about in the future. You got to Google it. Tesla robots. Yeah. They rolled them out this week. They talk like regular people with slang and everything. It's unbelievable.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So another episode in the books, fellas. We're going to wrap it up. I guess I don't usually start with the shout outs, but let me start with Chris from the podcast. He's up in Brock Street Brewery area up in Ontario. His son was up there in a tournament. I think he tore up his arm, possibly broken. We don't know. I just want to give Chris a shout out that when, you know, even though you can't make it, still in the loop. So who's got one? Thomas got one?
Yeah, I want to wish a happy birthday to my sister, my oldest sister, Lori. Today's her birthday. Happy birthday. She's a big watcher of the show.
Nice. Nice. Hi, Lori. Shaggy, you got one?
I don't have one this week. No, I didn't really think of one.
Oh, good. That's great shout out.
Thanks, buddy.
Well prepared, Ed will be happy. Speaking of well prepared, let's go to the mouth of the South.
Well, this is just kind of piggyback on the tinfoil hat, first and foremost. You know, living in this area and having friends in Tampa and having friends that have family up in Asheville, you know, it's just terrible to see all the things that are actually happening to regular people. And it's a bad scene, and it's not a good time. And, you know, hopefully everybody makes it out through the other side and that type of thing. So shout out to everybody that got impacted by both of those hurricanes. So it's definitely, they're definitely a big deal. You know, 18 inches of rain in Tampa alone, that's a lot of rain. And, you know, the systems are not capable of taking all of that at one time. So just thinking about all my friends in Asheville and also in Tampa.
Yep. 18 inches is a lot to take for anybody at one time. Go ahead.
He'll be here all night.
Phantom.
Andy, what the fuck?
I'm gonna shout out Don Sweeney and Cam Neely. They were, I think they watched the show, and 12 hours later, Swayman was signed. So, we can handle everything. We can do your booking. We can do your GM and whatever you need.
Yep.
For you. We got Wall Street you can buy. Yeah.
We'll go down the list. We'll book your show. We'll GM your club. We will advertise on Ed's wall. Anything you want. We'll make you one hell of a t-shirt. And we'll bring you Brad. Brad, you get to close out the show.
All right, I want to shout out everybody I met at Bad Blood. I plugged the podcast every breath I had, everybody I talked to. I was like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm on a podcast. We talk wrestling. It's called 1973 Podcast. Look us up. And they're going, really? Had them look it up right there in front of me. So hopefully you found us. Hopefully you're listening. Hopefully you're watching every major platform. Also want to shout out my buddy Jason Seibel. I met him in the Air Force. This dude is living the man's dream. If you could see this, it's called Mercer. It's his Kickstarter comic book. He wrote and had people design the artwork. This is not a bad comic book. I actually enjoyed reading this one, man. If you're into comics, it's just really cool to get. I don't know a lot of people that write comic books. So, Jason, it's a great job. I think they already launched a Kickstarter for the next couple issues. They're like $25 a piece. So maybe we get him on the podcast to an interview. Great guy. Great personality, by the way. Great comic book, man. Like, y'all did a really good job. The art in it is fantastic. The story's fantastic. He autographed it for me. Great. There's like four different variants for the issue one. I'm not rich, so I can only buy one, you know, because they're like $25 a piece. But great job, Jason. Really proud of you, man. Keep it up. I'm looking forward to getting the second one.
All right. So, from I guess everybody to whoever's watching, all 700 and something people that watched the episode 2 weeks ago, we brought you more Vince McMahon. So we're going to wrap it up, fellas. Ready? Wait. And she's by, you know, all right, we won't do that.